Corinthians this morning. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture from chapter 4 and also chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read beginning with verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. This really completely is in line even with the Sunday school lesson today. I hadn't even looked at the Sunday school lesson. It's not the same text, but it's the same theme from the Sunday school lesson today. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal, or not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is free from, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So I want to talk this morning a few minutes on this theme, living in the light of eternity. I've heard that topic, that title many times. There's books even with the title, Living in the Light of Eternity. But it's an important topic. It really is an important topic. I know that you have probably heard people say, well, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Well, that's one of the most ridiculous statements that you could ever make. Because the reality is, if someone is really heavenly minded, then they are valuable. If they're heavenly minded, then they are earthly good. And they will be able to contribute to people and to needs and to the betterment of the world that we're living in. And really, if we could just become more heavenly minded, more eternity focused, it would change our lives. It would change everything about our lives. Over the last few weeks, we have witnessed some very tragic deaths, even deaths of young people. We are still grieving over Jeremy Gilbert's death in Colorado, a car accident that took his life. And only 40 years old, he went there to celebrate his 40th birthday, him and his wife, and died in a tragic car accident. Shonda Parker, also just within the last couple of weeks, tragically died. Only 35 years old, a young lady, you would think her life was before her, and now she's gone. And then, of course, just a few months ago, Davy and Natalie Lloyd, missionaries, in Haiti, died tragically there, and so young, 23 and 21. Now, out of all of this tragedy, if anything, it should really cause us to shift our focus from the physical and the temporal to the spiritual and the eternal. It should cause us to think about things that are eternal. And I understand that, you know, the younger you are, the less you think about eternity. As you get older, you begin to realize there's more of my life I've lived in the past, and I don't have a lot of more years in the future. And so you begin to think a little bit more about your mortality and about eternity. But really, it doesn't matter what your age is. And that's the very stark reminder we've had in these last few weeks, is it doesn't, you no one really knows when they're going to step out of this world into eternity. We don't know. We don't have a promise of another day or of another week. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding us of the fact that we are living in a temporary tent. And this physical body that's temporary, and that we need to live our life in light of eternity instead of being all wrapped up in the things of this world. Everything you see in this world is temporary. Everything in this world, all your prized possessions, all the things that you esteem as important and valuable, all of them are temporary. They're all going to pass away, and we should put our focus, our attention upon eternity and upon our souls. You might have a big bank account. You might have a big retirement account, but you know, you may not ever be able to use that retirement account. Who knows? You don't know with certainty what the future holds. But Paul was reminding these Christians in Corinth of this important lesson, a reminder that our bodies are just jars of clay. They're just temporary. They're temporary. The real treasure, he said, is inside. The treasure is your eternal soul, that soul that lives on forever and ever. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be careful and more cautious, you know, to take our body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And certainly we shouldn't misuse or abuse our temple. Paul told Timothy, bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't say it doesn't profit anything, he was giving the comparison compared to the investment of time that you spend, that bodily exercise certainly has a part to play, but even much more important is the investment that you make in your spirit and your soul that's going to live on for all of eternity. Those are the things that should be really the focus of our lives. So you just think about it. People are rushing here and there. They're looking for the next new thing that they're going to purchase. They're living their lives to make accomplishments and to advance as far as this world is concerned. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you have it all in the right perspective. And you recognize that all of these things, they're going to pass away. The things that really matter are eternal. And the sad thing is that most people today are living for the temporal, live and let live, just enjoy my time that I have in this world. And so not even considering the fact that this life is going to come to a close, and then you're going to have all of eternity, all of eternity. What kind of an investment have you made in the inward man? Amen. The soul of man, that's the real treasure. This outward man is perishing day by day. So as we get older, we begin to recognize that. Some of you are getting older. Some of you had birthdays recently, and you're getting older, and you're feeling the pain of it. And as the years go by, physically, you don't have the strength that you had at one time. And I remember, actually, when we moved to Kentucky almost 30 years ago, when we left Oklahoma, they weren't too happy with me out there for leaving. So I didn't have a lot of help when I loaded furniture. Marcia and I and one other person did all the loading. And I'm telling you, I was able to handle a refrigerator with a dolly by myself. I was able to do a lot of that physically and load the truck up pretty much myself physically, and just us and one other person that helped us take care of that. And but I'm going to tell you now, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to do that after these years. I wouldn't have the strength to do some of those things that I was able to do 30 years ago. And those of you that are up in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, and you can just say amen, because you feel it as well. You feel it because as the years go by, the outward man, the physical man, loses his strength. And if you'll remember, when I came here 30 years ago, I had a head full of black hair. Those were the good old days. But things just change over the years. And the physical man is getting weaker and decaying, and your strength is waning. And but that doesn't have to be so of your spiritual man. And even the outward man can be perishing, yet the inward man can be getting stronger, being renewed day by day. And the emphasis should be upon the soul, the spirit, the spiritual life. Amen. You know, whenever we have the blessing and the privilege to dedicate some of your babies, and you bring your baby up here, and we take those babies in our arm and we dedicate them to the Lord. Really, when we dedicate a baby, we're dedicating a family, and because it's that mother and dad and that family that's going to surround that baby and influence that baby. Because whenever that little child is born, it's not just a new life, it's an eternal soul that's going to live on and on and on for all of eternity. And when parents recognize the seriousness of that, it's a very sober thing to think what I do and how I train them and how I influence them in their life is going to make a difference, not only in their life and the way they live, but their eternal soul is going to be affected by the influence of a parent and others, of other family members that are pointing them towards spiritual things. And how important that is. Actually, nothing is more important than raising up your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I know that the world wants you to feel like, well, if my kids don't have the most, the latest designer clothes, and if they don't have all these possessions that all the other kids have, then I'm failing my children. Not so, not so. The important thing is, are you invested in their spiritual life, in their soul that's going to live on for all of eternity? Are you investing in their future, and not just their future life in this world, but in all of eternity? Are you investing in your family and in your children, because they're going to live on forever and ever? Amen. It ought to stir the hearts of parents. And if you're new parents or young parents, it's one thing, certainly, you want the best for your kids. You want to provide for them in the best way that you can. That's natural. That's a mom. That's a dad that wants to provide for them. But think about the fact that they are eternal soul, that they're going to live for all of eternity, either in the presence of God or separated from God, and that it's an awesome thing to consider. And we need to live our life in light of that eternal truth. Amen. So God, give us an eternity perspective. Help us to see. Jonathan Edwards said, "Lord, stamp eternity on my eyes so that everything that I view it in light of eternity, that I make sure of my eternity. Paul recognized in this text, he recognized that, even his trials were working for him and not against him. Notice what he says here. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So no matter the trials or the difficulties or what you're facing in the flesh, in our outward existence, no matter how you may be, what you might be going through, because you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus, because you've surrendered to Him and you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things can work for you. And God can turn them into something that can strengthen you and help you and motivate you to give your full attention to the things of God. Amen. And how important it is that we focus on eternal things. Even though it seems like on the outside that things might be falling apart, on the inside, God is still at work. God is still moving. And for those of you that have gone through real severe trials, and I can tell you just from my own experiences over the years that when I've gone through some really difficult, dark times, it even though it was tough and I didn't want to go through it, I recognized during those times how much I needed God. And it caused me to cry out to God. It caused me to draw nearer to the Lord and to reach out to the Lord. And so many times our needs drive us to God, cause us to call upon the Lord and put our trust in the Lord. And then on the other side of it, you'll see God was at work even in that adverse circumstance. God was working and was giving me a greater eternal perspective on what's really important, what is really valuable in our lives. Another thing really that it really helps us, if you want to have a focus on the things that are eternal, then we need to measure our time. The psalmist says that we should number our days, that we should look at our days, the number of days that we have. We only have a certain span of time. Of course, we don't know how long, but 70 years is promised, and by reason of strength, 80 years. And so for some of you around here that are 80 years old or close to it, you're living on the promise of God, and you're living beyond the promise of God because of God's favor and blessing in your life. But we need to take a look at our time, the time that we have as a great gift from the Lord. And when you compare this life and the brevity of this life to all of eternity, when we really compare the short little span of time we have in this world, in this life, and compare it to all of eternity, how foolish it is to give all of our time and energy to the things of this world that are all going to pass away. Everything in this world. I'm sure many of you have heard of C.T. Studd, who was a missionary. He was actually a professional cricketer, a sports person in England. And he was converted under D.L. Moody, in a D.L. Moody campaign in England. He got saved. This is what he said. I got down on my knees and I thanked God. And right then and there, joy and peace came into my soul. I knew then what it was to be born again. And the Bible, which had been so dry to me before, became everything. C.T. Studd was born again. His life was turned around. And from that day forward, he gave himself to the work of the kingdom of God. And while he had privilege and even wealth and all of these things in the life that he had in England, he spent the remaining years of his life, something like 40 years, he spent in India and Africa reaching souls for Jesus Christ. And he had inherited a large fortune from his father when his father died. He gave it all away. He gave part of it to Moody Bible Institute. He gave some to the Salvation Army and William Booth. He gave the rest of it to George Mueller and his orphanages. He gave all of his fortune away. And he went to the mission field and he never raised funds. He just trusted God to supply all of his needs all of those years that he was there, because he recognized it's not what you do and what you accomplish in this world. It's what you've done for Christ. I know that you've heard songs and written that use the phrase, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That originated with C.T. Studd. He wrote the poem, and there have been many songs written, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Measure the time that you have and what you have. And really, you don't have a promise of another day or of another week. That just means when you start your day tomorrow, commit that day to the Lord. Lord, I want to do your will. I want to fulfill what you have called me to do and you want me to do. Help me, Lord, to invest in eternity. Let me put eternity in the hearts of people that I come in contact with. Use me, Lord, and help me to live in light of eternity. Amen. How can you do that? How can you do that? Well, invest in eternal things. There's just a few things that have any eternal value. You see, I've already mentioned that everything we own, all of our possessions, and everything you see in this world is all going to be burned up. It's all going to be gone. Everything. It's all going to pass away. And how sad it is to put all of your resources and all of your strength into things in this life that are going to pass away. There are just a few things that are eternal. The Word of God is eternal. So we should invest a lot of time in the Word of God. Amen. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of the Lord is never going to pass away. Amen. Every book in the world will be consumed and burned up, but the word of the Lord is going to endure to the end. Amen. So put your investment in things that are eternal. When all the world is gone, the word of the Lord is going to stand. And then one day we're all going to stand in the presence of God and we're going to be judged according to the word of the Lord. So make investments in God's word. Take good opportunities to read it, to study it, to listen to the word of the Lord, and to hide it in your heart hear it taught and preached as much as you possibly can. Invest in the Word of God because it is eternal. And you can keep your focus on eternal things. And then also you can lay up treasures in heaven, the Bible says. You see, that's the amazing thing, is that money is just mammon. It's not valuable. It's all going to pass away, except for that you invest in heaven. Except for that you invest in the kingdom of God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But instead, we need to invest in heaven, in the kingdom of God. And when you invest in the kingdom of God, then you turn your worthless money into treasures, heavenly treasures. When you invest in the things of heaven, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So wherever you invest your resources, your heart is going to be right there. You want to fix your heart on eternal things? Then invest in eternal things and pour out into things that are eternal. Amen. And what a difference it'll make in setting your focus on eternal things. And then thirdly, people, souls are eternal. People are eternal. Amen. Every person. I'm sure that Joanna had this experience in India. One of the most overwhelming things about India is the masses of people. I remember getting off a train after being on a train all night long, getting off a train in a train station in Hyderabad. And when I did, it was so overwhelming. The crowds of people were so overwhelming. Thousands upon thousands of people were in that train station. And I can remember the thought crossing my mind, I wonder if any of them know about Jesus. I wonder if any of them have heard about the Lord. Is this mass of people, are they all lost? Are they all headed to hell? What a desperate thought it is that people, over 7 billion people in the world, and two-thirds of them have never really heard an adequate message of the gospel. What a horrible thing to consider that masses of people are dying, lost, and many of them have never, ever heard about Jesus. And so you want your focus to be on eternal things? Then care about the souls of men and women. Care about the souls of young people and children. Care about them. Don't just care. I mean, when we see people impoverished, we want to help them with food and clothes, and all of that's well and good. And there's nothing wrong at all with caring about the physical needs of people. I understand that. But really, the biggest need, the greatest need, is the fact that their souls are lost. And everything that we do to help their physical needs would be with the hope and the prayer that you're going to have an open door to talk to them and to speak to them and to plant the seeds of the gospel in their heart. And so souls, when you allow the Lord to burden your heart for the lost people of the world, that will help you to live your life with eternity in view, with an eternal perspective. That's why we have the commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and teach and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the earth. I just wonder, when you see people, there's been times that I have visited cities, driven through large metropolitan areas, and just wondered, I wonder if there's a gospel preacher here in this town. I wonder if there's, and you may think that's a little far-fetched, but the reality is there are many places in the United States of America where there are large cities with no churches and no preachers. I know it's hard to imagine because we have hundreds of churches in our area, but there are places across this country. Many years ago, I was doing some study and researching about churches especially in the Northwest, major cities, and I could not find not one gospel church in major cities in the Northwest. It's an incredible thing to think that there would be people, masses of people, with no opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And that's when Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He commanded them to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. And the very next chapter, it was them. They were the ones. They were the answer to their own prayer that Jesus was sending them forth into the harvest to see people come into the kingdom of God. Lord, help us in light of some of the things that we have seen over these last few weeks. Lord, help us to shift our thinking, our attention to the eternal, and not stay so focused on the physical world that we live in and thinking that this is really all that really matters. It is not. The most important thing is the eternal soul of everyone that you come in contact with. And may the Lord help us to live our lives every day with our focus upon eternal things. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you can speak to us, Lord, about these things, Lord, that are so essential. We get all caught up in our own needs, our own problems. We get caught up in the things, the day-to-day things that we seem to think are so important. And then we neglect, Lord, the most important thing. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels are just clay. They're fragile. But Lord, we have a treasure. And everyone that we come in contact with has this treasure. This soul that will live on for all of eternity. And Lord, I just pray that you would stir our hearts today to recognize how important, how valuable it is to know you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning?